So this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. But Phil and I are going to talk about, I think, D-Day is a matter at Central Park.
At Central Park 5.
But before we get to that, I can't resist. I know I've hurt some feelings last week. I talked about Tiananmen. And yes. I cannot resist coming back to it because, you know, the proverb, the tongue turns always to the aching tooth. We have a ritual, and we can't understand why China won't join our ritual. Every year, the editorial writers at The Star and The Globe and The New York Times and The Guardian think that it's time to lecture China about how they run their affairs, and they want to recall for them this immense event of 1989 called Student Revolt. It has various labels, but it all turns on a phrase, the Tiananmen Massacre. That's the term. And I would tell you that you should always be suspicious of anybody who wants to use inflammatory phrase, and particularly if they keep digging into the well and bringing it up each year with no modification or alteration of the term. And so that said, I'm on the program last week, I mentioned that there was no Tiananmen massacre. Did not happen. There was in the square. I mean, I'm being pedantic because a lot of people think they can play this game forever. In the square itself, on June 4, 1989, the students were dispersed, and it was a negotiated process. And it's true that the government took over the square, but there was, in that square, there was no massacre. And we'll get to this part. Now I find somebody decided to help me out. Daniel Scott wrote an opinion piece with the Toronto Star. And I love you, Daniel. Thank you very much. He wrote this on Tuesday, June the 4th. And he says, this is the title the Star gave him. Many Chinese deny Tiananmen Square massacre, but I was there. So I thought, well, what do you know? I mean, this is interesting. So I got the Toronto Star and I read the article. And he says that he was living in, he was at a university in Shanghai. So right away I'm thinking, okay, so we're going to have to get you from Shanghai to Tiananmen. But okay, so I'm with you. You're telling me about the student revolts going on. There was, by the way, across China, in many universities, there was student revolts. So he's in Shanghai. And he said, I'm not going to read it, but just to identify it. So he's at Jiantong University in Shanghai. And he says he gets a call from some students, and they come and see him, and they say, you know, there's trouble, and there's shots been fired and this kind of thing. So he said he went to see, but he didn't see anything. But there was, clearly there was tension, and there were soldiers and police. And so he observed all this. Then he got contacted by the administration, and they said, we urge you not to be going out on the streets. And he said, oh, well, you know, they're trying to coop me up. So he got on his bike and he went out on the street. He didn't see much other than people, you know, moving clearly kind of either a pre-demonstration or post, and that was it. So then he gets back from his little bike ride, and he's contacted by the Canadian embassy, and they say, we are recommending that all Canadians get out of China now, and we are arranging for transportation to get you out. So he said he did that. Remember, he's in Shanghai. So I'm thinking, okay, so we must be going to stop our flight in Beijing. Well, he goes, no, he doesn't. He leaves. They get him a flight, and he goes out of the country. And I couldn't even tell you where he was, but he said he saw on CNN bad things happening in Tiananmen. He saw it on CNN. And, okay, here's the problem. Daniel Scott, Toronto Star, many Chinese deny Tiananmen Square massacre, but I was there. No, you weren't, Daniel. This is funny. I don't understand the Star. Do they have anybody who reads this stuff? He wasn't in Tiananmen. If you write that, I was there, the reader's going to think you were there. He wasn't there. He's delusional. And the star shared that with us. And we're all saying, oh, wow, that must have been terrible. I wouldn't know. I know Scott doesn't know. He definitely doesn't know. He was not there. But to help him out, I found some quotes from the people who were there that might help him. Here's one from Richard Roth. He's CBS News. He was there in 1989. He waited till 2009. This is Richard Roth writing in 2009. There was no Tiananmen massacre. He said he was driven through. He was arrested because the Chinese did not appreciate foreign correspondents running around looking for provocative interviews. States tend to be that way. I don't care what country you're in. They get a little touchy when there's violence going on and they see a foreigner. So at any rate, Richard Roth was arrested. He put him in a Jeep and he said he drove right straight through the length of Tiananmen Square 40 minutes after the students had been moved out of the square. 40 minutes, he said. That's him. He's Richard Roth. He's CBS. He said that it didn't happen. Number two, this is James Miles, BBC journalist. There was no Tiananmen Square massacre. And then there is the Columbia School of Journalism, who provided again in 2009, I believe, quoted they had a a cable from the U.S. Embassy that said some of the soldiers. Oh, this is another subject, but we're going to get to that. So, anyway, there's Robert Marquand of the Christian Science Monitor. He says no students were, quote, mowed down by sudden rush of troops, as widely reported. It's okay. Toronto Star, Daniel Scott, I want you to get back to us on this because you told everybody that you were there, you weren't there. Now, three guys who were there say it didn't happen. So, speaking on behalf of the Taylor Report, I'll just tell you, I understand that there was violence. There were people who had been in the square who fought with troops, and they did it outside the square. That happened elsewhere. It happened during the night of June 3rd and 4th because after 7 weeks of being in the square, which is not permitted in any country in the world, you would not be able to do it in front of the Washington Monument. Stay there for 7 weeks and just call for the overthrow of the government? No. Just forget it. The United States Army would put you in a basket. And so that didn't happen. I mean, so that there was 7 weeks they were permitted to do that. They were on national television. Has the Toronto Star ever shared with its readers the fact that the student leaders met with the political leaders of China on national television and that their chief leader, a man named Kang Chi, insulted the leaders, spoke loudly, proudly, and treated them in a shabby manner, which that's his right. If you want to shoot your mouth off, I'm all for you. Go ahead and do it. But did the Star tell its readers that there was a national television televised meeting of members of the Politburo with the student leaders? Did the Toronto Star tell its readers that members of the Politburo on more than one occasion went to Tiananmen Square and sat with the student and talked to them and said on television, we think these students are patriots, we don't have a problem with them, but we do have a problem with continuing this form of struggle because it's going to lead to damage to our society, to the economy. All that happened. Did the Toronto Star, did the Globe and Mail, does the New York Times share with their readers, CBS, CNN, CBC, please, I'm asking you all, join in now. There are photographs, they're not pretty, of Chinese soldiers who were burned to death in buses by people throwing Molotov cocktails. And then some of those bodies were taken out and ropes around their necks, and they were hanged on the sides of the burned vehicles. There's hardly a society in the world, maybe it's one run by Quakers, I haven't been there, who tolerates that. I understand it's an armed struggle. Maybe you have a side. Go ahead, have a side. But if you're telling me that the Chinese don't know something, I'm telling you what you don't know. You don't know that the Chinese watched on national television the Politburo members argue with Kang Xi. You didn't share that with us. You didn't. The Chinese saw the pictures of the soldiers whose burnt bodies. You know, soldiers come from ordinary Chinese. Ordinary Chinese looking at a soldier's burnt body says, who did that? The guys who led it and organized it were removed and are now in places like Harvard and Washington and London, really. And they were removed through Hong Kong, which was British territory. At that time, it was British territory. The people who removed them were smugglers. And the people who helped them do it, look it up on Wikipedia, it's called Operation Yellowbird. The people who did it were the embassies, Canadian, very proud of you. Canadian embassy helped move the people who accused the burning soldiers alive, you understand? That's funny stuff for somebody. Why don't you share that with your readers, Globe and Mail, Toronto Star, CNN, CBS, CBC? Yeah, because you're a bunch of political hacks. That would be the short answer. And then you hire a moron like this guy who was in Shanghai who tells you that he was in Tiananmen and you put it in your newspaper and you want it to be treated seriously. So that's the name of that song, as they say. This is the Taylor Report. We will tell you more, if you like, about the Tiananmen business. And Phil,
the issue of the Central Park Five is back in the news because I guess somebody did a drama on or something.
Yeah, dramatization.
Yeah. One of the prosecutors is back in the news because she still doesn't accept the facts, right? And she lost a publishing contract or something like that. But let's review. What happened? Who were the Central Park Five?
And yes.
What did they do?
Well, they did nothing.
They did nothing.
Yeah, they did nothing.
They did nothing.
It is. They're still being beaten up, in my opinion. I want to get Ishmael Reed again. Ishmael Reed has been on our show. He's one of the great American poets. He's also an essay writer, a novelist. He's done. Lately, he went a couple of rounds with Alexander Hamilton. He knocked him out. Ishmael Reed followed this very closely at the time. There, we have a pathology that, frankly, it is rooted in the history of slavery and the non-recognition of equality. If our theme today is anything, is liberty, equality, fraternity of black Americans. America has not suffered, and has not recovered, actually, from the shock of the defeating the Confederacy and finding that they had 4 million fellow citizens who had previously been in chains. And this has been a difficult psychological adjustment. And you find it in the Central Park story. They get the label, and I know that they bridle at that, and I don't blame them because actually they were five individuals. It is now known for a fact that four of the five did not know each other before being brought in by the police. A jogger in 1989, seems to be a fateful year, doesn't it, was attacked and raped and left for dead in a park, and so the city became inflamed, and Donald Trump at that time was what he is now, actually, except he was running a hotel. So he bought a full-page ad in four newspapers saying, bring back the death penalty. And he said he hates these guys because the police immediately found five black youths who they said were in the park that night, and they talked to them, and what do you know? They confessed. Actually, my memory is that four confessed and one didn't. And their mothers and families stood up for them, but they were poor people. They were black people, and the mob was howling for their lives. They were they were 14 to 16 year old, the five of them. As they say, four of them, they did not know each other. Pat Buchanan said that they should hang the eldest of them and that the other should be horsewhipped, stripped naked and horsewhipped. That way women would be safe in New York. So, and they were convicted and sent away. Now, I want to call attention to the New York Times and others have been playing, I think, continue a dirty game. Two things they say. One, they were in the park that night. So that means they were no good people, right? A black youth, Central Park. That's bad. That must be bad. It's late at night, and he's in the park. There you go, right away. That part I remember. The other element was that there was a group of feminists, white feminists largely, who called for a rally on the steps of City Hall to do something about this. They created a term called wilding. Do you remember that, Phil?
Wilding. It was invented, and then all of a sudden they had everybody using it.
And they said that if black youth practice wilding, we have to end wilding. And one of them, a woman, read a poem, and it was called The Wilding, or The Wild Thing, I believe. And she imagined herself in the minds of these black youth, and she named them. She named them. They're not even legally supposed to be, their names are not supposed to be known. She named the guy in her poem, and she imagined how he felt hitting the woman in the face with a pipe. Remember something now. It didn't happen because they took DNA, and none of the five had the DNA. So they said, well, see, they were there, and it must have been the guy that got away, you see? Uh-huh. Well, many years later, after they'd been in prison, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, 12, I think, tops, with people saying, look, DNA, let's get busy and do the right thing. They had some DNA on file that has been collected. And it matched a man who was sitting in prison who said, yeah, it was me. He said also, he explained, he had murdered another woman and raped 8 others after you put the 5 away. And that woman wrote, this was a black woman, a poet. She's the woman who wrote Precious. You know, she wrote the book Push. And then that was turned into Precious. She called her writing name is Sapphire. But there was anti-black racism and disguised as, you know, we have to fight for, you know, on the rape issue. But they were comfortable with 5 young men being railroaded. There's a thing I like in the American Constitution. If you choose, if the one crime that they will try you, capital offense, is traitor, if you're a traitor, accused of being a traitor. And it says any confession must be made in open court. You can't make a confession on the side or somebody say that you did, because that don't work. That ain't the real thing. These young men, their lawyers said they didn't confess. They were coerced. They were tricked. They were. Because obviously, since they didn't do it, somebody played a nasty game on them. But to this day, actually, people still write in a kind of a, they say, well, they weren't angels. I hate that phrase. How do you know they weren't angels? I'm going to say they were angels. You show me they weren't. They say, well, they weren't angels. I think they were. So you got a problem. You show me. Because they didn't have police records. They didn't have any police records. They had no interaction with the police. And the police had that DNA within a year of the arrest. And they had the DNA, so they could show. And they could have gotten this all over with, but they wanted the Central Park Five. So that's something to know. That is dramatized. I urge everybody to study this thing, but don't allow the New York Times, Washington Post to get off on their role. This has been the Taylor Report. I want to thank Braden for bringing Mattis and everybody else who helped out. We might have a little bit of music at the end. Maybe not. It turns out we don't. I'm imagining things. So go Raptors, and we'll see you next week.